Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 406. We are covering night two of WrestleMania XL. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And fellas, it is now all over with. How the hell are you?
Well, it is the biggest night in wrestling, certainly the biggest weekend in wrestling. Thankfully, it is coming to an end here because we've had a whole lot of stuff to do and a whole little bit of sleep over this weekend, but we're ready to talk about it. Mania's over. We got some records, and I'm probably going to sound more negative than I really am because I really liked both these shows, but let's get into it.
I'm not quite sure what to say yet. I'm still processing everything. That was a crazy, crazy main event. But yeah, let's figure it out. Let's go.
Jared's still running on his Windows phone processor, I guess.
Yep, pretty much. Greatest phone ever.
Now, that's a different episode. So I will start by saying the Slammies were earlier this morning, and I don't know who produced that show, but holy hell was that awful to trudge through. I had the opportunity to fast forward because I wasn't watching it live stream, and it was like a car wreck I couldn't turn away from. Oh my God, they had teleprompters that weren't working. They were positioned poorly to where it looked like Big E and Kathy Kelly were like looking at each side of the stage like they didn't know where to look. There was a lot of dead air. People didn't hit their cues. It was a production nightmare. But there was a silver lining as Drew McIntyre did win social media, whatever the award was, social poster of the year or whatever, because of all his savageness on the socials. But I don't know if you heard this story before Mania weekend started, but Chelsea Green, I think it was Monday Night Raw afterwards or into Tuesday when everybody was leaving or whatever, but she was thrown out of the hotel she was staying at because they thought she was an escort because of how she was dressed. And so when Drew when they were announcing the award, the Slammy Award, Chelsea comes out and takes it because she assumes she won. They say Drew wins, and Chelsea's offside throwing a fit, and Drew's like, Chelsea, calm down before I have security escort you out of the building. I was like, oh, Drew.
That's one of those. That's one of those things you have almost like the gif of the people all going, oh.
Yeah. It's like, Drew, he can do it on a moment's notice. Unbelievable.
Emotional damage.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was this morning. That was that production nightmare. That person should be fired. I do have my notes. Depending on how these come off, you may wish I didn't have my notes, but the show kicked off tonight similarly to last night, only it wasn't a Triple H promo to start the show. It was a Stephanie McMahon promo to start the show, and who would have expected that?
Exactly.
You pretty much caught it. It's like, I thought she was long gone.
Yeah, well, she was at Hall of Fame. She was backstage last night. And as she said in her promo, she's been a part of it or backstage at every single WrestleMania. So,
and really, if I understand it right, she resigned from whatever board. In other words, she doesn't have any actual like power with the company, but she could still be considered talent, I would think. She probably just came out there as, you know, Stephanie McMahon Levesque or whatever, the McMahon Helmsley, I should say. You know, the character, you might say.
Or she's just the wife of an employee.
Yeah.
This started with Drew versus Seth to kick things off. another world title match to open a show. Because as the saying goes, if you're not last, you might as well be first. I'm going to go over my notes here and then you guys can chime in. I thought this was a much better entrance for Drew here versus 2020 in the Performance Center, obviously. Seth Rollins, on the other hand, what the ever-loving F was that about?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that with, like, the Lollipop Guild doing their theme music?
I told my wife and daughter, I said, that's a preview of the next 52 weeks of his wrestling outfits for Raw. Corey Graves with a great line. He said, perhaps Seth is covering up the fact that his body is being held together with duct tape and super glue. So I thought that was a great line. Decent match. Great finish. Great angle at the end. And a great Money in the Bank cash-in by Damian Priest, who is now your World Heavyweight Champion. And as a side note, Damian Priest held his Money in the Bank briefcase for 281 days. That is the longest of any male in WWE history and only second to Carmella overall.
Oh, so even longer than Edge from the first Money in the Bank way back when, huh?
He listened to mommy. He picked his shot.
Mm-hmm. I guess this means Damian defends against Drew at Clash of the Castle. That seems to be the logical step from here.
I'd be okay with that. But it was nice to give Drew. It was like, see, Drew, we gave you your moment in front of fans, and we took
it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. The thing that happened with Punk is that it's good story material there because, you know, Punk was kind of being respectful, about as respectful as you could expect him to be. I mean, yeah, he might have been doing kind of the golf clap applause, but it wasn't until Drew did the crotch chop on his face, that's when Punk finally lost it. And I think most guys in a similar situation might have done the same thing. So it's like, yeah, you could blame it on Punk, but you could also say that Drew incited it by getting too cocky, no pun intended.
Well, thank God that arm brace has a quick release button.
Yeah.
Right, I've got a knee brace. That thing takes me like 5 minutes to put on and take off.
They've improved over the years. Quick release. I'm geeked out for Punk McIntyre once Punk is cleared. And
those promos are going to be off the charts.
They already are. And yeah. Like
they're going to they're going to make new charts and be off those too.
Yeah. Like Punk said in Chicago, my mouth still works. So he doesn't even have to be off TV if he doesn't want to be. So, next we had the Philadelphia Street Fight. And I took this as my cue to go finish up dinner, but I was going back and forth between the kitchen and the living room because we had Snoop Dogg as the guest commentator, whose commentary was hilarious and engaging and entertaining. And we had a special guest referee of Bubba Dudley. So I had him coming in the ladder match and he appeared in the Philadelphia Street Fight. So I was close. Yeah.
What was great about Snoop's commentary is, yes, he was funny, like genuinely funny, and yes, he came across as witty and all that, but he didn't just go off on tangents that took you out of the match. You know, it's like he was still saying stuff that would bring things back to the match as well. So it's like he clearly was interested in the match that he was helping call, which I think is great.
Yeah, dude was probably sky high, but he was in on the match. He was like sharp and on the ball. Like he was reacting as a fan, but with a mic. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was great. And he had some really great one-liners and his reactions were awesome. He was hilarious. I messaged it, but I'm going to rewatch that match several times and not for the wrestling. I'll be listening to Snoop. That was so good.
I, right off the bat, they were promoting the gin and juice drink or whatever. Snoop goes, yep, I had a sip of that outside before the match. And Michael Cole goes, and that was the only one, right? And Snoop goes, nope. I was like, well, he just admitted he's drunk. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
And I will have to say, Bubba in a ring when he recently was in a TNA ring makes me yearn again for Bully Ray in WWE. And now that Vince is gone and they're not really promoting the Be a Star campaign, maybe we can get it. But who knows? Right now, he's only on a Legends deal.
The stuff and that Montez Ford and Dawkins and that team was doing when they were pulling off like the some of the old Dudley Boys moves, like the nut drop from the top rope and that kind of stuff. That was some awesome nostalgia too.
Especially when Bubba shoves Bobby. First of all, I thought Bobby was going to rip his head off. I was like, whoa, damn. And then Bobby shoves Montez and Montez shoves Angelo. Get the table. And needless to say, the babyfaces won. And kudos for Scarlett for going through a table. Holy shit.
Oh, that was sick, man. And awesome.
Yeah. So, next, we had AJ Styles and LA Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
AJ with some new darker music. So, no more of the music he's had for 8 years now.
Has it been that long already? Wow.
Yeah, 2016. The only note I have from this match is I thought it was hilarious that when after the calf crusher and when LA Knight went to pull up the mat outside the ring, as he was pulling up the mat, he forgot to sell his leg. And then as he was coming back, he started selling again. Like, that's so great. Like, apparently you can't limp and pull a mat at the same time. So,
and I think we can all say we were voting, we were rooting for the guy that had the initials in his name, right?
Jeez.
Yeah.
And LA Knight goes over. Any other thoughts on this match?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it probably wasn't the best match of the night, but I mean, it led up to my expectations. I mean, both guys, I think, brought it. I'm a big fan of AJ Styles, and I've been a fan of LA Knight ever since he was Eli Drake in his TNA days. So yeah, I mean, like I said, wasn't the best match of the night, but it was probably in the upper third of the matches as far as both nights.
Yeah, nothing spectacular here at all. A very, very solid match, fun to watch. I'm glad LA Knight got the win. Yeah.
Although I forgot to add this, that I think it's kind of funny. The one that's looking, been called the breakout star and kind of the up and coming guy, is the guy that just turned 40.
Yeah, he won a couple of Slammies, right?
LA Knight.
Yeah.
I believe he did. Yeah. I know Mommy won 4.
Oh, geez. Yeah, he won breakout star, I believe.
Yeah, and he got like fan chant or something like that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think Cody got 3 or 4, something like that. Next, we had the United States title triple threat. And my notes from this match are Logan Paul, the biggest bag of douche around, including including his obnoxious entrance. Nice touch with Sammy returning the favor for Kevin, saying, now it's your turn. Another nice touch with everything Kevin was wearing and his trons being styled in the ECW font of old. That was great. I laugh my ass off at KO giving Randy a ride to the ring in the golf cart. That was great.
God.
And I thought it was a fun and slightly unique dynamic to the start of this match where they were just taking turns teeing off on Logan. And they looked at each other like, well, we're going to have to turn on each other. You know, we're going to have to fight each other eventually. And then Randy goes, nah, let's keep beating him up. Okay, cool. So my last two notes on this are looking at all the gear from the weekend that was tied into the Philadelphia Green. I can't wait for the purple and gold next year if it's officially for Minnesota with all the Vikings colors. And that's another thing I just realized. There was no Mania announcement for next year, which usually happens during Mania. So they announced, they reminded you about Backlash in Paris. They announced King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. They mentioned Bash in Berlin last night during Gunther's match, but no announcement of Mania for next year. So I wonder if it's not finalized. That's weird. That's usually a yearly tradition.
But I think my favorite part of this match was the sidekick dressed up as the energy bottle getting beat up. That was, I thought that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. The other thing about kind of the start of the match, Josh, just to add on to what you said, was like, well, do you want to do this now? It's like, yeah, okay. And then they just start beating the crap out of each other with Orton and KO there near the start. They were fun. And then it just devolved into the traditional Logan Paul greasiness, and that kind of tuned out.
Yeah, but he did retain, and he stole the pin. You know, so
we called it,
and I'm ready for Logan and LA Knight at SummerSlam in Cleveland. Let's do it.
If it means LA Knight is winning, hell yeah.
Yeah, right. Up next, we had the women's title on the line as Bayley challenged Io Sky. Weird Egyptian entrance for Bayley, but it made for a great Titantron, though. The Hey Bayley song chant throughout the match, but the audio levels were not as great as they were in the UK, but that's what happens in an open stadium. The sound goes up and out of the stadium. I couldn't tell if Bayley's injury was legit or just good selling for drama. So that was good. If she was actually selling, that was a good job. If it's legit, then kudos for her to making it through the match. There was a great rolling suplex sequence from Sky. Fantastic escape reversal of the first Rose Plan attempt. And I was pleasantly surprised that there was no interference from the rest of Damage Control. So
yeah, that surprised me. Yeah,
they just brought Io out and then they disappeared, which they weren't even ringside. So that was odd, especially the way they told this story. You would have thought they would have been out there. But Bayley does win. She picks up another title to her exceedingly championship level resume, and pretty good match in storytelling, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, if people were to say that as far as an in-ring standpoint, this being the best match of the show, I wouldn't argue against it. I mean, obviously, we'll get to the main event, which had a lot more drama, but it's like the in-ring definitely kind of came and went.
Well, this was a match featuring Bayley. So as is tradition, I turned on my Xbox and just kind of glanced at it every now and then. So, yay.
And you mean first-generation Xbox, right? Because you're so old school.
I do have one of those, but this was actually the Series X.
Why do I feel that yay wasn't heartfelt?
There might have been a small little bit of sarcasm dripping off of that yay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not sure if you could tell or not.
I felt that. I felt that. Okay. Then we had the main event. There was no bonus segment. There was no extra slotted thing of anything. There was no backstage anything. So that did not come to fruition. We did get the main event, though. And here are my bullet point notes. And I'm going to read them the way I wrote them, so they may sound a little disjointed. I guess the tattoo wasn't enough. Cody's wearing a 3D printed mask with the American Nightmare logo. Brandy sighting. Fantastic entrance for the tribal chief. Nice touch with the choir.
Yeah.
Love the camera focus on the champion and challengers where everything in the background is blurred. It happened last night too. Everyone loves that Vince is gone, but the true hero was whomever pushed Kevin Dunn out the door. The bell rang at 9 o'clock on the dot. Could be in for an hour of storytelling. Roman is the best at facial expressions, body language, and trash talking mid-match, but this is nothing new. When Cody got the first table, he exposed 4 kendo sticks all together in a row. How convenient. Roman's line of, I'm going to send you to Hollywood with the rest of them. This is my company, you little bitch. I thought that was great. Everything with Roman is so methodical and sets the tone of the pace of the match, which is great for the big fight feel. The clotheslines in the corner by Roman are as bad as Naomi's kicks to the abdomen. He needs to either tighten those up or stop. Cody needs to stop with the 2K taunts of woe in the middle of his matches. He did it last night and he did it tonight. And stop pressing the directional pad for your taunt, damn it. First interference at 9:21 p.m. from Jimmy. Jimmy and Jay take each other out. Spear by Cody into the barricade looked rough. Solo Sikoa at 9:25 starts, and another great line. Solo says to Roman, finish him. Roman says, I know. John Cena at 9:27 hits the attitude adjustment on Roman. I was like, oh, damn. But as Jared pointed out, that did not lead to the finish, so I'm okay with it. The Rock at 9:28. Shield music at 9:30 p.m. But Seth gets taken out with a chair.
Yeah, I was like laughing and crying at the same time with that, because like I thought it's kind of cool to do the Shield throwback, but then it's like he just got punked out. And
yeah, he got punked out twice, including Roman getting his payback after all these years. And basically it was like, well, thanks for coming, Seth. Undertaker gong at 9:31, choke slam to the Rock. I guess Austin was not available, so they subbed in the Undertaker, because I did not have that on my bingo card. Three Crossroads, finally, no Austin, story completed, as are my notes.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest pops I think I've heard on TV when Cody won there, which we were expecting. I mean, it's been 4+ years. Now, here's the part that I hinted at the beginning, where I'm probably going to sound more negative than I really am, because this is theatrics. I mean, this is what WWE does the best, is these kind of theatrical showbiz type matches. But it's also kind of the greatest and worst things about wrestling logic, you might say, or sports entertainment logic, if you want to apply it to WWE, because it's like, they say it's bloodline rules. Anything goes. Yet nobody comes out until 10 minutes into the match. You know, and you'd think the bad guys would all come out at once like an army. You know, we already know that there's no rules. So what would you do? And then, because what I was expecting was all the bloodline would come out in their army. They're surrounding the ring, you know, like the NWO or something like that. And then one by one, you get the entrances of, you know, Jay and then maybe Cena or whoever, just kind of saying that, hey, Cody's got his army too. But they didn't do that, and I'm not criticizing them for not doing that. I'm just saying this is the wrestling logic thing. But instead, for some reason, we get the interference one by one, gradually getting higher and higher up the star chain, so to speak. So this means The Rock literally waited until two other guys interfered before finally coming out himself. And John Cena waits until Cody gets hit with two finishers before waiting for his music to come out down to the ring. It's like with all these guys having to wait until their music hits for them to run out, with friends like that, who needs enemies? You know, nope, I'm not going out there till you hit my music. I know, but like I said, it's theatrics, it's sports entertainment, the whole nine yards. They do it to pop the crowd, but it's just, it's that type of thing that I just can't look past sometimes, because it's like, you're trying to win a title here. You're trying to finish your story, and your cronies won't come out until their music plays. So, but yeah, not going to be a match of the year candidate in my book, but I mean, certainly this is going to be one of those moments that you remember. And of course, that's what it was all about. We remember Cody ending the 4-year reign of Roman, and everybody smiling and happy and the crowd celebrating and all that. And in the end, I mean, that's really what matters.
They may have waited for their music to hit, but at least they ran to the ring right away. Instead of my brother's getting his ass kicked, but I have to dance. Bum 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 bum.
What would have been hysterical would have been if Orton interfered as well, and he came out in a golf cart to interfere.
And then also Rhea Ripley in NXT. I forget who she was saving, but they hit her music, and she had to do her stomp with the music before saving her supposed friend. This isn't a ring entrance. Get your ass down there. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm quite all right with all of this. I thought about that too. Well, Bloodline rules. Just bring the Bloodline out and beat the crap out of Cody and have him overcome. But then, you know, the Avengers have to show up pretty much at the same time. Then you've just got chaos through the entire match. And at least this way, they got to have a wrestling match. They got to tell the story. And it just, like you kind of using the word elevated, the level went up every time, which was good because it brought the drama every time too. And yeah, this was just all about the spectacle. Is all about tying up some loose ends and creating some new avenues, planting some seeds. I think when Jimmy came out, I didn't think there was music. Solo, there wasn't music, which was kind of interesting that all like the faces got their music, the bad guys didn't, except for The Rock, because The Rock is going to, if you smell, is going to pop everybody every time, just no matter what side of the fence he's on. But the whole thing, though, the actual match between Roman and Cody was really good. Then all of the pieces they added in, you know, the interference from the Bloodline, Jimmy, and then Solo, and then, you know, because Solo was the one that saved them earlier, kind of under the same circumstances. And then, you know, The Rock comes out. But then you got all the callbacks. It's like, well, the Bloodline's ruined all of these, but not ruined, but, you know, taking championships away from all these people by saving Roman, right? So Cena, you know, Rock's there from the Attitude Era. Well, there's Cena, there's Undertaker. It's like it was just so cool. It was just all this history came together.
Yeah, like a who's who.
Yeah, right. To tell the story and give Cody the moment. My one's still up in the air. I still acknowledge my tribal chief, but you know, the story had to end at some point. All good things must come to an end, and I'm really, really excited to see what happens next as far as the Bloodline, Roman, The Rock go. I can't watch Raw tomorrow night live, but I will be up very, very late watching it on DVR. Tuesday is really going to suck.
It's the first Raw after Mania in the Triple H era.
Yep. And I will not be on social media all day. So
how about if I do you a solid and I just message you thumbs up or thumbs down, whether or not it's worth it.
Sure.
And yeah. If it's thumbs down, you can put it off till Tuesday.
Sounds good. Yeah. I can save me a couple hours of sleep maybe. There you go. Yeah. But it's WrestleMania. It's the main event. It's spectacle. It's the end of a 4-year title reign. It's elevating someone. Like if you ever listen to Roman on the Pat McAfee show, and all the press he'd done, if you listen to Triple H on the same show, it's, you know, Roman said, you know, elevating everybody. And that's what they've done. You know, people were pissed last year about Cody, but there you go. He went through, you know, his trials and tribulations. Like we said, he's going to have his adversity first, and now he's champion. So very nicely told story, and I can't wait for the next chapter.
Yeah. Just because Cody's story ends doesn't mean the Bloodline story ends. So tomorrow could be very interesting if it's Roman send-off or Rock send-off or both of them.
So, I mean, you could easily take another several months or to a year to tell the story of the disillusion or the breakup of the Bloodline, you know, the slowly crumbling away.
Right. And I still believe there's a Roman face turn in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last thing from my notes, I took notes on the finisher kickouts. It'd be interesting to go back to night one and figure out the number from there so we can get a grand total. But from tonight, Rollins' stomp, two claymores from Drew, an RKO from Orton. While the brass knucks are not a finisher, they should knock somebody out, and there was still a kickout. A stunner from KO, over the moonsault from EO, a spear from Roman, the spike spear combo from Roman and Solo, all kicked out of. So 9 altogether on Sunday.
And you're not counting the belly to belly?
No, because that's not a finisher anymore. That was that was hugger babyface Bailey finisher.
But you're going to count the brass knucks?
It's not well, you should be knocked the hell out. A Bailey to belly does not knock you out.
But it's her finisher.
Was her finisher.
She used it for years as a finisher. It's 10. I'm counting 10. My over is good.
One of the best nuggets of wrestling logic that I think I heard actually came from Scott Hall. I remember him saying it in an interview years ago where he said, you know, if you're going to have a finisher and it's not going to end the match, just have it be your reason for there not to be a cover. You know, if it's a heel that hits his finisher, then he parades around and acts like he's won and all that, and giving the babyface enough time, you know, to get a foot on the ropes or something like that. And if it's a babyface hitting his finisher, just act like it. He just acts like it kills him too, and you have that moment where they're both at the double down. That's summarizing what he said, but into my own words. But that I always thought of that every time I see a kick out of a finisher. It's just like, you know, you can probably protect the move a little bit better by having a reason for there not to be a cover in the first place.
Did you count Roman hitting the crossroads, Josh?
No, not his finisher.
Yeah. Stealing finishers doesn't count in my book.
Yeah. But Roman had a great line saying after Cody kicked out, he goes, "I knew that move sucked."
That's why I asked that question.
Roman is so good at the mid-match trash talk. It's amazing.
Yeah. I can only wonder what's going to, now we get the current generation Drew with the current generation Roman, if they have a feud or something like that.
Yeah. I'm going to steal a little bit of Seth's humor here. And that's you, Seth, not Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I was going to ask for clarification on that.
This, I'm going to say something, and it seems like something that you would say right up your alley from your sense of humor. But I'm going to say I was very disappointed that when Cody brought up Bruce Pritchard, he did not say, "I love you."
I was actually going to go there if you didn't. So there, thank you.
No interaction from Mama Rhodes and The Rock, except for what we had last night, calling out bullshit from Mama Rhodes, which was great.
And there was no Dustin either, right?
He was there. Saw something of he was in a skybox with Ricky Starks.
Oh, okay.
So,
he's not going to appear though, right? He's signed to another.
No, it was like the equivalent of Bayley, Tamina, and Naomi at Dynamite for Mercedes.
Yeah.
You could be there, but don't be on camera. You could be on somebody else's camera, but you can't be on WWE broadcast.
Right. He wasn't in the ring with everybody else, I think he probably should have been.
Yeah. He was probably on the tour bus after and before, but yeah. I think the only people I could recognize in the ring was his sister Teal. I don't know who the kids are. I'm guessing nieces or nephews, probably Teal's kids, perhaps. I don't know who the extra guy was. I know Brandy's dad, cause they called him out last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I knew anybody else in the ring. I can't. The only thing that's ringing in my head is the complete and utter waste of the Shield music and the bad camera work, which is ironic considering they've improved it drastically. But they missed his sliding into the ring until Roman comes flying across, taking him out with a chair. And then he's taken out with a chair again. I'm like, wow, that was helpful.
Yeah, they're just focused on Rock trying to find him.
Yeah, that.
Next thing you know, Roman saving Rock with a Superman punch. I love the callback to the chair shot, though. That was great.
Yeah, especially since the announcers mentioned it. So.
Yeah, they're throwing back when Seth originally turned on the Shield in the first place, right?
Right. Turnabout is fair play, even from the heel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any final thoughts of WrestleMania weekend as we kick off a brand new season of WWE tomorrow?
Well, it lived up to my expectations. I was happy with it. Like I said, probably solid B territory. Like I said, I know I sounded more negative than I probably really am when it comes to the main event, but it's just I watch WWE with a different eye than I watch, you know, New Japan or AEW or any of the other wrestling that's out there. But yeah, I really like the show top to bottom.
Yeah, I had a lot more fun watching today than I did yesterday. I'm gonna go with an A today. Not an A plus, I'm going with an A. And then I love how, you know, even the talent, like Cody mentioned it too, are like, we're in the Triple H era, even though like, if you listen to his interview, it was always with Megan, I think, beforehand, it was on the kickoff show that he's like, you know, she asked a question of where do you see this in 5 years? And he's like, well, when we go to WrestleMania next year, he goes, we want to deliver something that makes it forget about this year. So he wants to be that big. And then in 5 years, you know, it's going to be a whole different thing. It's going to be just the biggest shit you've ever seen, as he literally said that. So I'm really stoked that this WrestleMania is kicking off kind of that this new era, I guess. And even Triple H himself said, you know, we didn't call the Attitude Era when we were in it. It became that afterwards. So we'll see what they call this era. But even, you know, the folks are calling it the Triple H era. So, you know, they've got he's got their respect. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they deliver now.
Apparently Cody's trademarked or filed trademark for the Renaissance era. But if he's filing the trademark, then obviously it's for his storyline and his use and purposes. Yeah. So We'll have to see how that goes. I don't know if you guys caught out on either night, but you'll catch it at the beginning of Raw and the beginning of everything moving forward. They have a brand new signature in the beginning of Then Now Together Forever, and it's voiced over by Triple H. So
the erasing continues.
Well, Vince wasn't even the voiceover for that last one, but
yeah, Cena.
I like this one.
It was Cena, I think, before. Yeah.
Last thing I'll recall is when Jimmy speared Jay off the ramp. I did not see those tables at first. I'm like, did they just go into crashing into concrete? And then I saw the broken table. I was like, oh, good. I was never more happy to see a table before. I was like, cause I thought that even with the table, I thought they overshot. It was a smoother watch tonight. It went quicker, maybe because there was one less match, but you know, everybody was kind of just waiting around for the main event. And lastly, props to Samantha Irvin. Holy cow, how she did not lose her voice after last night. And she delivered on everything and gave everything a big fight feel. And you could tell when she was announcing Cody as the winner, she was freaking crying. You could tell.
Yeah.
That was just amazing. Fightful even tweeted that she's building a legacy with her, you know, being so damn good at her job. Amazing calls.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the next Howard Finkel, I think.
She's in a class by herself. She's great.
Yep.
All right. Well, that concludes our WrestleMania coverage.
Oh, you forgot something, Josh.
Uh-oh. Oh, prediction results. Is that what you're referring to?
Yep.
Wow. You do the JOB and you want to know about it.
Yeah. It's I know where we are, but I mean, we got to get the totals out for everyone here.
All right. Prediction results, and then we'll conclude. As far as, do you want me to do this night and overall or just overall?
Do this night and then overall for the year.
All right.
Yeah, might as well.
Oh, overall for the year? You're going to make me do math? Jesus.
Well, you normally have it all ready to go in your damn document. Like, geez.
Well, I did overall for Saturday and Sunday. I didn't do overall for the year. You're going to make me throw in a commercial to this episode.
Oh, we can
figure it out.
We can do that Tuesday then.
All right. Jeez. I'll just do overall for the weekend. All right.
Fine by me.
So for tonight, Seth was 3-3 for 11 points. Jarrett was 5-1 for 20 points. And I was 6-0 for 22 points. And collectively on the weekend, Seth was 6-7 for 18 points total. Jarrett was 9-4 for 31 points total, and I went 11-2 for 34 points total. So it does not look like any leads changed hands that Jarrett was hoping for, but that's the problem when Jarrett picks the same predictions as I do for 2/3 of a pay-per-view. Yeah, so Tuesday we will start back with our normal schedule. We will be incorporating NXT, AEW, although Wednesday's AEW is, to me, continuing the furthering of a bitter man of Tony Khan, because they are supposedly and allegedly airing the all-in footage of backstage with CM Punk and Jack Perry, because Tony is upset at CM Punk's interview with Ariel Helwani. And what a bitter petty man that he has to pop a rating by using this footage. But we will talk about it later in the week, I guess. But be that as it may, Mania's over. We roll on, and we roll with the punches. And until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordZandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.